Call this meeting of the Kings Beach Planning and Zoning Meeting to order. First item of business is approval of the agenda. Changes, corrections?
I move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And take a moment to read through the minutes. Additions or corrections? Kathleen, since I was absent, should Alan sign and make the vice chair?
No, you'll sign because you're present now. He was signing for you.
I'll make a motion to approve this.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Public comments. Did anybody sign up to?
Oh, I didn't have a sign-up sheet. I'm sorry. Can they just raise their hand if they have a comment?
We can just do by the order they arrived. If anyone has anything they want to say.
Okay. I don't know if you folks have a copy of the agenda. During old business, we're going to talk about fences, fence height, and livestock and exotic animal issue. So, has anyone got any other issue besides those two, or do you want to talk about those two? Yes.
My name is Russell Gates. I bought a home about 16 years ago on the corner of K Avenue and 4th Street. And bought it about 16 years ago, spent the past couple of years, moved here about 3 years ago, spent the past couple of years remodeling it. About a year and a half ago, I was going to put some palm trees in the front. Went to the zoning and was told that I didn't own the first 10, 20 feet of my land in front of the house because the state has it right away. I was also told that, and you don't own really 10 foot of the side of your property going from down 4th Street because the town has utilities. On a little postage stamp lot there in the corner, probably the wrong spot for me to have retired in. But the past several months I put a little pergola on the back of my property, the little back that's left, on the existing concrete slab that's probably been there for 30 to 40 years. But now apparently it's a violation because the pergola is only 7 feet from the back of the property and it should be 10 foot from the back of the property. And I kind of wrote a letter, you know, explaining my position and what I think, what I interpret the zoning to be. When it comes to pergolas, we're talking about four posts and a little open air top to it. And I would like consideration that I be allowed to keep that up there, respectfully. Would you like to see the letters that the comments, and I also enclose pictures and stuff of it?
Just to make sure, Tom, what's actually the zoning requirements for this particular situation? Is that...
Well, Mr. Gates is talking about the setbacks and what's allowed in the setbacks.
So it's a 10-foot setback, so that's a major issue.
It's a 10-foot rear setback and a 5-foot side setback.
Okay, so he would be asking for a variance on that setback?
I've actually encouraged him to ask for a text amendment, and I believe that's part of the reason he was here.
A text amendment versus, so to change it for the whole city rather than...
Yes.
In his particular situation, okay.
Are all lots have 10 feet from the back of the property line?
For setbacks, yes, sir, except for the B1 business district.
Okay. So the setback, but you can put a fence right along the property line?
That's correct, yes, sir.
Okay, but not a structure within the 10.
Not a structure.
And the pergola, four posts would be considered a structure?
I would consider it a structure, yes, sir.
It's four posts with an open air top. I don't know how that would be considered a structure. I mean, there's no sides to it. There's no permanent roof on it.
Well, what's the definition of a structure as it stands right now?
Do you want to see what it looks like, or?
We can't, I mean, I think most of us know what pergola, but we got to look at it. Sure.
Can see it?
I'd like to see it. Okay, that's the pergola. Remember you? Do you all want to see that?
Yes. Yeah, sure.
I always wondered what it was called.
Definition of structure here. But structure shall mean anything constructed or erected, the use of which requires location on the land, including freestanding billboards, signs, and fences. The term structure shall be construed as if followed by the words or part thereof.
That's a succinct definition.
But structure includes fences?
Yes.
But the fence, is there something else in there that allows the...
In the code, it actually...
Fence specific. To be on the property line, but no other structure?
Yes, sir. Sure does.
And so that, by section, that definition...
Section 19-320 says any structure requiring a building permit should not be permitted in the setback area with the exception of the following items, a fence and a beach walkover.
All right, so if... You're thinking about asking for a modification, you're talking about including that definition, then something like this. That'd be the simplest way to deal with that.
Yeah, I was wondering what the text amendment would look like.
I don't know. I mean,
if planning zoning be so kind, allow me to speak. I will be following a text amendment to this exact issue with John first thing tomorrow morning.
So then you would bring it to us on.
That's a separate issue for a separate type structure, but yeah, it should be on your June agenda.
Okay, because right now structure, then if we're talking about a structure and a setback issue, you know, I can understand an extension of the house or, you know, something physical building, but a jacuzzi would be considered a structure. That so putting a jacuzzi in the back of your yard within that 10-foot setback would be considered a violation. Even though it's not built, it's, you know, just drop there, right?
Yes, sir.
Under that definition, okay. What other things do you typically see? Dog houses?
Sheds.
Sheds are a big one.
Yeah, you know, sheds I can see because those are actually physically constructed. I guess you can buy them at Walmart and bring them and drop them off, too.
Livestock enclosures?
Livestock enclosures, okay.
Just to...
The dog houses technically would also be considered a structure under that definition.
Yeah, you could look at it that way.
Okay.
I mean, I just, again, respectfully, if I'm not allowed to do anything in front of my yard because of the state and because I can't do anything on the whole length of the side of the house because of the town easement, I mean, it's almost like you walk out of your house and you're, even though it's your land, you're not allowed to do anything with it. I mean, so the little slab that was there for the past 30 or 40 years, I put this pergola on it. I put four posts on it with an open-air top. And I think it doesn't interfere with the town's fire or safety or anything. It's well-built. I've been in construction. I'm retired law enforcement from New York. I've been in construction most of my life, too. It's well-built. It looks, I think, very good. I got many comments from people walking by. It improves the area. It improves the town, which improves the town. So I just...
Your text amendment, will that cover, are you looking for structures? Would it cover what he...
Accessory sheds.
All right, so that would that text amendment cover both of these, what he's offering?
One thing I would suggest is that somebody provide an overview of the ordinance, the fact that we have to deal with the ordinance, and what options are available.
Well, that's normally something that's done after a text amendment is filed.
Yeah, I'm just saying that this body has no discretionary authority to change anything, but there are procedures and processes under the ordinance to seek changes, but you have to go through the application, and you have to go through the review process, and you have to have city council consider and act on it.
Well, I would suggest maybe a different approach rather than an application. I'm just going to make a motion that we put on for the next agenda item a discussion of structures and rear setbacks.
Okay.
And so then we could come up with a recommendation, actually have a general discussion of this particular issue rather than waiting for an application for a specific application.
You could have this body could propose a text amendment.
So I'm going to go ahead and make that motion that on the next agenda item we have a discussion of structures and rear setbacks.
Thank you.
I second your second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
There you go.
And then we don't have the application process.
That's what I think.
Well, does this gentleman still need to do the text amendment that he
offered? Well, he would have to ask for a variance.
Okay,
right now.
But now he was going to come to John tomorrow. He said, should he wait?
So both gentlemen have situations that are in non-conformance.
Right.
I'm just getting, does he need to still provide you with the text amendment tomorrow or just wait to... We look at this on an agenda item.
Well, we're going to talk about sizes of things and setbacks. Yeah. Sizes of pergolas, sizes of sheds.
Right.
Those situations are non-conforming at the present time?
Yes, sir.
Legally non-conforming?
No, sir. They are non-conforming. Both were constructed without permits.
I got you.
How long for us to just take it to council? Council is going to do an amendment to the code. They'll have a public hearing, most likely. So we're talking on into July, August, maybe.
You still need that for a text amendment, though, for an application. You still need all that stuff, but
I agree.
You know, I think we need to look at it in a holistic thing about looking at all the issues that might be in the setback and definition of structure and all these type of things, rather than a specific text amendment for a particular situation.
What I'm trying to prevent is the gentleman having to tear it down and rebuild it.
Well, has there been any code enforcement action?
There has not. There's been me requesting them to come to the appropriate channels to obtain permission for what they want to do.
There's no pending code enforcement. If there hypothetically was code enforcement, they'd file an appeal to the BOA, which would stay enforcement. Your 30 to 45 days is eaten up. You'll get to council.
So how does that come into play if I'm not doing code enforcement at this time and I'm allowing that to continue while PNZ is talking about this and things don't go the way that the owners would wish? How does that work out for the town?
Well, I think code enforcement can be implemented whenever code enforcement's implemented. I mean, if code enforcement takes the position that it's not going to actively enforce anything because it's a pending matter for the Planning and Zoning Commission and City Council, then code enforcement can decide what to do once those processes have finished and you see where you are. I don't have a problem with that.
You know, from my experience in that, whenever something's pending on an agenda, that typically that stays the code enforcement until it's...
I just wanted that on the record, so I appreciate it.
No, I understand.
A good example is Wilmington's really wrestling with short-term rental regulations, and they're just not actively enforcing while they are going through the motions.
You know, as long as there's no complaints, obviously, if there's a complaint-generated code enforcement, it's a different issue, but this isn't a complaint-generated code enforcement.
Well, one of them has been. To which I responded and talked to them about that. And I believe everything's fine at this point in time.
Okay. Well, this is probably not going to decide that it might need.
Absolutely not.
But as long as it's not enforcement of the code. It
has a bunch of different considerations.
Oh, yeah. It's not going to be such and such in a setback. It's going to be restricted to size and square footage and lengths and all kinds of things.
But I'm glad you're looking at this. This is something that people question me on a daily basis.
Well, a lot of times, you know, I mean, a lot of things are in our ordinances were written 40 years ago. And so these are the sort of things that then require us to update and look at and examine these type of things. So, I mean, this is a process by which updates are made to the zoning code and things like that. So, I mean, this is a normal process.
And something appropriate. Just to remind the commission, this is the comment section. These are not agenda items. So you've got a motion in the past, so you might want to entertain any more public comments, if any.
Anyone else to address in the public comment section? Okay. Oh, yes.
About the exotic animals?
We're not there.
Not quite there. Okay. In the old business section, fences and fence height. And when I presented the exotic animal suggested ordinance changes to council, I also talked to them that we would be coming forward in May with a change to the fence regulation, but did not present it as a formal division. As our minutes show, there's a draft here, and some changes in red by our attorney. Any further discussion on the fence issue?
If I could just add to that, Chairman, my recollection is that the commission was satisfied with the amendments as drafted, and we even went to the point of everything's ready to go to council, if that's the case. I did have one question that I came up with in when I was finishing up these draft ordinances. I'm trying to see if you.
What had to do with this picture? If that was it. In terms of.
No, it's not that, and I don't think it's in the agenda packet. But there should be no issue about the backyard because. Backyard is defined elsewhere in the code and it works for the drawing that you came up with. That's not an issue. And I think what we did was we have 6 feet in the rear, but in looking at the provision in the code, section 5-141, where all this is set out, I ran across subsection D, and maybe I'm reading it wrong, but we've got 4 feet except in the back, which is 6 feet. Subsection D says, fences further than 5 feet of the sidelines of the property, or 10 feet from the rear, which is not applicable in this case, shall not exceed 6 feet in height. So, Do we have 4 feet on the side, or if I'm further than 5 feet from the sideline, and I guess that means I'm coming in, so I'm not trespassing. If I'm 5 feet one from the sideline, this seems to suggest that I can have a 6 foot fence.
I think we actually touched on that last time.
That's exactly what that means. Okay. So if your fence is 5 feet off your property line, you can go to 6 feet. If it's 10 feet off your property line, you can go to 6 feet.
Okay. Just wanted to
make sure. On the sides as well as the back.
Yes, sir. Okay. It just has to meet the same setbacks as a residence would or a structure would.
I just needed that cleared up.
But if you go to the property line, it's only 4 feet.
That's correct.
4 feet.
All right, got it. That was just some confusion I had, but it's my recollection, unless commission sees it or John sees it differently, that we're done with fences and it's ready to go to council. Right. But that's if everybody agrees.
You need a motion?
Is there a motion section?
I'd like to make a motion to move this to council for their approval.
A second. And this is the one we're talking about?
Yes, sir. Miss Avery's got a black line and a red line version.
Got a couple questions.
Yes.
Question, because I haven't seen the drawing, and I'd actually had put a request in to extend that 6 foot up to the property line, and I'm not sure I understood that that's what this was just discussing.
Yeah, from my understanding, that this drawing right here, this is what is implied is allowed under the ordinance that we're suggesting.
He's bringing one.
He's bringing it right. So that's not the issue. That it would be from the back of the corners of the structure out to the property line, which is what you're talking about. So that would be allowed, you know, to have a 6 foot structure in the back.
That's right. So today, if I'm understanding correctly, if I built the 6 foot fence inside the easement area or the setback area, I can have a 6 foot fence. The motion here that's looking at is to extend that to be able to put that 6 foot fence on the property line.
In the back of the house.
Back of the house.
Now that's not.
That's, yeah, that's,
that has to go to the city council, be voted upon, and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Understood. I just wanted to make sure that the language being presented to city council was what I understood
it
to be.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to send this to council. All in favor?
Aye.
And this is not zoning per se, if I'm correct on that, so you don't need a consistency statement.
This also doesn't have to go to public hearing, does it?
The city, well, I think Canuta sometimes likes to have a public hearing on text amendments. But that's their call.
Okay, old business item B, livestock and exotic animal. I presented our recommended changes to the council. Got a lot of questions. Had some very nice people attend the council meeting and address the exotic animal part of this ordinance change. A couple owned a couple of monkeys and made a very compassionate plea to not outlaw the monkeys. And the council said, go back and relook as a P&Z commission on our recommended changes for exotic animals and livestock. Someone wanted to talk about exotic animals?
Before you entertain public comments, could I make a couple of comments?
Sure.
And I'm not taking a stand either way. And I've read the excerpt from the council's minutes, and I'm trying to understand what happened. And I think that's, at the end of this, we'll all get to where we think they want us to be. But I wanted to point out a couple of things. The definition of exotic animals has a reasonable person standard in it. It's, you don't have a black, and maybe we need a list, although I think it'd be challenging to come up with a list. But what the definition says is, in part, if it reasonably poses a danger, then it's an exotic animal. All right, let's take monkeys for example. Maybe some monkeys do not reasonably pose a danger. If they don't meet the rest of the standards of that definition, they would therefore not be exotic. That brings up a different issue, whether they are livestock and or not. And what does council want us to do about the table of permitted livestock? Do they want us to come up with a bigger list or leave it as it is for them to text amend or the building inspector to, in their discretion, to permit otherwise? These are the issues that I saw.
Yeah, and if I can add to that too, because I've read the excerpts also, and the issues raised by the council are exactly the same issues that we've talked about for 4 months. I mean, we've hashed this out in ad nauseum, you know, about the definition, whether hamster, you know, all these type of things. So I didn't see anything that the council was raising. And I understand this is kind of the knee-jerk reaction, because that's the reactions that we had over the last 4 months.
That's true.
So, you know, in terms of asking us to think about these issues, which is what I read here, we've thought about these issues extensively. And I think that, you know, the point that you made right there is the reasonable person definition of what represents exotic, because there's hundreds of animals if we're trying to make a list of everything. And we simply can't do that. That's actually the discussion that we ended up with at the very end. So, you know, if you're not going to list every single species and every single variation of the species, then you have to have some discretion. And the discretion that we decided was going to be in the inspector, the building inspector's, you know, category is that. And with obviously an option for appeal to the council. So as we start this discussion again, I just want to make sure that everybody knows that these are exactly the issues that we spent 4 months on.
Now, I'll point out two things that we may want to look at a little bit more closely. I'll say three things. One, I called it town inspector. It needs to be building inspector. That's a typo.
Right.
But in the definition of exotic animals, there is a phrase in the last line that shall include, and monkeys is in there. Now, maybe we need to look at that. Also, if it's not exotic, we've defined livestock as not including pets. Maybe we should consider pets. If it's not exotic, and it's not livestock, and it's something, how do we include those things which are neither livestock or, because they're pets, how do we address pets? For example, let's say you have a monkey. It doesn't reasonably pose a danger, therefore it's not exotic. But it's not livestock, because the definition of livestock says they're productive or useful creatures rather than as pets. And then we go on to provide for livestock. What happens in that hypothetical situation to those monkeys? What are those monkeys?
Pets. Well, I would say as long as they don't fit into one of the two definitions,
they're not
the ordinance is moved on.
Exactly.
You know, so
exactly.
There's no restrictions. I mean, they are a pet. If you want to call them a pet and add an additional component of what a pet is, but if it's not included in the ordinance and in the definition, it's simply moved in and there's no restrictions.
And I think that's the cleaner way to go. We may want to look at the inclusion of monkeys, generally speaking, in the exotic language, in the definition of exotic animals.
By cutting it out?
Well, we just first we say it's a reasonable, if it does it reasonably pose a danger, then we have a global statement that exotic animals shall include monkeys. Now maybe we got apes in there, maybe we leave that. Bears, raccoons, wildcats, certainly, but maybe we just take out monkeys and let the reasonable person standard address animals of that nature. So those are the only comments I wanted to make. Thank you.
Oh, yes.
As a thought, in discussions with some other individuals in the town, would there be a difference, Jim, between you can have a pet that is dangerous and you can have a pet that is domesticated? I would think there's a difference between the two. A domesticated pet is a pet that can be controlled, is used to human beings. a pet that is not domesticated might be the type of pet that has innate responsibility to hunt?
I don't know that you could. I think, again, the definition, a pet is an animal. Mm-hmm. Premise one. Premise two, to follow your illustration, if that animal reasonably poses a potential danger to persons, property, or other animals, then it's exotic. Do you, to further your illustration, if you've got an animal slash pet that is domesticated, that a reasonable person would say doesn't pose a danger, then it's not an exotic animal, it's a pet. Just the ordinance is mute on that point.
And, you know, this is an important issue. We talked about this too. Again, I was a city council member at a city in Orange County, California, a large city, about 120,000 people. And, you know, we had lions, tigers, jaguars, I mean, you name every possible exotic animal, and they were, quote, pets. And we had a couple of cases, they were pets until they turned on the owner, which does happen.
They're not domesticated.
Well, they seem to be domesticated for years and years and years until all of a sudden, you know, one got hungry or something or mad. And we did have a monkey. We did have a monkey. There was a chimpanzee. I remember that. It was a chimpanzee that was a pet and that it turned on. I mean, you see these in the news occasionally too, where a chimp or something like that will turn on it. So I'm very cautious about trying to define pets, you know, for that reason. You know, that I think that, you know, the reasonable man definition and leaving some discretion to the building inspector is the way to go with making sure that there's an appeal process that's clear, that if people don't like what the building inspector says, then, you know, they can take it to the council and make their case. You know,
we can in fact follow the logic that Jim just presented. If this then that, then it kind of does lead you more in line to what John was speaking of when he came to council. Because it was very, frankly, it was a convoluted discussion, right?
And
that we just roll over the place with it. Not your fault, trying to absorb it a little bit. So, okay.
I think Member Galbraith raised some great points. I recall our knee jerks when we first started about this, and that was the first time it came to council. So it would have similar reactions. I also think that perhaps council, and again, I wasn't there, and I'm sure you did a great job presenting it, but maybe the nuances of the things that we've been discussing about today, maybe it would further council's understanding to have a similar discussion for them. I'm not sure they understood the reasonable person standard.
Well, I think some of them got hung up on, we have a blanket statement in the proposed language that exotic animals are not allowed. Then,
but it's not a blanket statement, because you have to read the definition of exotic animals as reasonably posing a danger. If it doesn't reasonably pose a danger, it's not an exotic animal.
I understand. But it says exotic animals are not allowed within the city limits. And so then you have the definition of what an exotic animal is. That's fine. But it went on to say the monkeys. The lady and gentleman talked about all the rules and regulations that they complied with in the state of Florida, mm-hmm. where they first got the monkeys. And the state of Florida has a lot of restrictions. Anyway, they moved to North Carolina, they have the monkeys. As Mr. Galbraith was saying also, we looked at all these issues, and as you say, Jim, the council just looked at it for the first time. But there was no real direction except go back and look at it. There wasn't go back and strike the word monkey or go back and create a list. Yes, Chris.
Mr. Chairman, I think some of the logic that had the council a little reacting in different ways was there were individuals on the council looking for a very specific list of what were exotic animals. And I think your opening statement, Jim, is an important statement that this is, you know, you need to apply logic to this. So it does allow people to come up with a solution depending on almost a specific situation.
When you make a list, there's the danger of leaving something off that should have been on that list.
Absolutely.
And the courts always recognize, for example, if we did the livestock ordinance and we kept the reasonable person standard and that ordinance was challenged on that point, the courts will uphold the reasonable person standard, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And it's hard for people who don't work with that language to understand how that standard works, but that is, that's the standard. That's what you apply. And if you think about it, it works. You know, maybe you've got a domesticated tiger, but a reasonable person would say that tiger could pose a risk. It's what's reasonable. It's not based on subjective criteria. It's not like, well, this he's been my pet for 20 years, he's not going to do anything. It's what Joe Blow on the street thinks about having a tiger living next to him.
And we actually did have a discussion, too, that, you know, coming, if we were in the city of Los Angeles or the city of Raleigh, that's where you tend to get very complex type of ordinances, mm-hmm. too. And one of the points of discussion we have is just the nature of Curie Beach, that we want to have more, allow more flexibility for exactly these type of things, just because of the nature of a, you know, community like Curie Beach. And I think that was, you know, one of the components that we wrote in here, that we didn't want to create a list of 200 animals, which you could do. I mean, you could clearly create a list of 200 animals and make us a 45-page ordinance. But that's not what we're trying to do there. So if you're not trying to do that, then you have to go back to the reasonable person type of analysis and leave some discretion to the building inspector in this particular case.
Can I say something?
Sure.
This all started because a little girl wanted four chickens in her house. Exotic animals and livestock. In 70 years, I don't think we have a livestock problem or an exotic animal problem. Well, I'll simplify things. That's the way I am. Can we, this be as simple as, if you want exotic animals and you want livestock, they cannot be outdoors. They have to be indoors. Somebody wants to have monkeys, they're indoor monkeys. Somebody wants to have foxes, it's gonna have to be in the house. You don't have to make a list of exotic animals, you don't have to make a list of livestock. Somebody brought up, what if somebody has a vacant lot and wanna have a horse? Well, you can't because it's gotta be in the house. Is that too simple?
It was a good example.
I think that would mitigate against horses.
I thought it was a good example.
I disagree with that. Hold on. I'm sorry. I apologize, but I disagree with that.
It's like,
nobody even knew we had monkeys until this come up, except for very few neighbors. We don't advertise them. We don't call people over. We don't nothing. Our monkeys are diapered 24/7. We take extremely good care of them. But if I want my monkey to sit on my deck with me and eat a ribeye steak off the grill, I should have that right to do that.
Well, I'm not saying that you can't. If you,
well, you said
within reason. If you take your monkey outside, and I'm talking about if you have cages outside, and you have in your, you know, that's where your livestock is, that's where your exotic animals are. I mean, but I'm not saying that your monkey can never see daylight again. I mean, that's not.
Never eat a ribeye.
But the danger of that definition is, suppose I do keep a tiger inside, and then I want to bring him outside to eat the steak. You know, and you know that. So you know, I like the reasonable person.
Everybody's responsible for what they have. I mean, you can have a pit bull, and if that pit bull gets out and bites the neighbor, you're responsible for that pit bull. It's a little different.
Well, there are ordinances that cover
animal control.
Spring and monkeys, or I guess a neighbor could call if they thought the monkeys were disturbing.
No, I just don't think this is a well-written ordinance that possibly needs to be explained a little bit better in terms of the reasonable person argument, and the building inspector has discretion, and you know, and in that particular case, I think your current situation would be allowed as, because it's a reasonable person argument. And it's done. I mean, there's no reason to tweak it any further. You know, if you need to change some of the language, make sure it says building inspector versus town inspector and that sort of thing, that's fine. But I'm nervous about revisiting and trying to make the list longer or...
It'd be another 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, and I think we're just going to end up in more problems. It kind of defeats what we're trying to do at Pure Beach.
What does commission think about taking the word monkeys out
of it? That's where I was.
That's where I was. Because you still, it's still, the reasonable person standard would still be applied to that creature. But monkeys in that last sentence is a blanket, and I would recommend at least taking that out.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. I have no problem with that, but I'm only on the person side.
So I agree.
Commission, I got a consensus on that? Okay.
Do we make, do we need a motion to strike one word, or we just...
Well, I'll make a motion to strike monkey from the definition of it. I think exhausting.
I second.
You just...
All in favor?
Dying to apply that reasonable person standard.
Somebody
reasonable.
Somebody might come in and say, what about
Mark? Yeah,
it's right up your ass.
That's when you know.
Or sure. But can you see exactly? I don't have that in front of me.
No, I don't either.
Because we discussed the same findings.
Yeah, all I have is this training.
It says apes, bears, monkeys, raccoons.
Everything else in
country. Yeah, that was from the discussion that
I did have a question about this. Bees.
Bees.
Bees. How would bees be incorporated in this? Because more and more people are interested in, you know, having beehives for honey. So.
And I meant to look at this, and it's simple. I might have it. 2016 General Assembly did something about bees, and I don't remember what that is, and I don't remember if I actually found it, but... I'll be glad to look into that and report back unless
we discuss it. I mean, bees clearly are pests.
It's also a business.
I can see a thing in a couple of different definitions there.
So, excuse me, gentlemen. So we have a motion to strike monkey from the definition, but do we need a motion, Jim, to bring this back to council again? Does that have to be another motion for that? Or
do you all want to look at it again, or with those changes, pass it on the council?
I'll take it back to council with the.
But I would
I think y'all done a good job on this, and this will be okay to go to council.
And would it make sense for attorney to show up and explain
when is
the nuances of the discussion?
We'd love to pay Jim.
Sure. I think you have two people pretty well understand it. We ought to be able to.
Okay, all right. So that's fine. Okay, the reasonable person definition. Okay.
Did you all have any other, because we kind of went to the lawyer and never got to the public comment. Did you all have anything you wanted to say anymore?
Well, what it sounds like to us is that the planning and zoning is willing to strike the word monkey and send it back to council. Am I correct?
Yes.
I'm a happy camper.
But just very quickly, even though we're striking the definition of monkey from exotic animal, it still is a reasonable person definition of it. And so as a reasonable person, the building inspector would look at your situation and say, as a reasonable person, is that a pet or is that a wild, dangerous animal?
But at the same retrospect, I would have appeal rights based upon his decision.
Absolutely. You always have that. Yes, you always have that.
I like John. Shit, let's go.
So someone's making a motion to print. I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
I don't think anyone made it.
I'll make a motion to send it back with the single revision to council for consideration.
Point of information. I was at that same meeting sitting here. We have not addressed the issue the mayor brought up where she insisted that also if we ban something that's exotic, that she wants the ability to come back and have her have it or somebody else has it.
Well, that's...
Charlie was there. I know what was said. Now, I'm going to use the monkeys for an example because that's what she used.
That's fine. Okay.
Yeah, and this is not... But at one point, we had a discussion and we said that, you know, if you have, you go to the town inspector, you have 30 days to get it out of the system or whatever else. The mayor said, no, that doesn't work because now I might want a monkey and I want to now come back and change the ruling so I can have one too. Now, we haven't addressed that yet.
Yes, I think we have.
Okay, then.
If what that person wants does not pose a reasonable danger, then it's not an exotic animal. And if it's not an exotic animal, it's either a pet or it's livestock. If it's livestock, is it on the table? If not, talk to John. And at the end of the day, if none of that works, then they appeal to zoning and the interpretation of that ordinance to the Board of Adjustments.
So basically, you're striking the form of 30 days to appeal it if you have an exotic animal.
If you have an animal that poses a reasonable risk of danger to the public, this thing says you've got to talk to John and get a permit or get rid of that dangerous animal, and you got 30 days from the date of the ordinance to make it happen. And if you disagree with the application of that ordinance to you in that instance, you either seek a variance, a text amendment, or you appeal that interpretation to the Board of Adjustments. Due process from top to bottom. Do you agree?
Yes. I think we create as much flexibility in this as possible, given the difficulties of trying to define what an exotic animal is. I really think we've given a lot of thought to this, and this is the best way to go. But anyway, there's a motion.
There's more than a second.
It wasn't second.
I'll second it.
Thank you.
All in favor of sending, or me presenting this to back to council?
Aye.
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 Look at Al.
I said aye, not aye.
Okay, gentlemen, we need to talk about any new business.
It's not really new business, but I've had several interesting discussions with the container home issue. Now, we're going to go through that again, but having to do with the Carolina Beach Container Homes, and from what I understand, that we're asking something like $280,000 per container for that.
Woo! Maybe we need to revisit that.
They are weekly rentals. They are weekly rentals, but if anybody wants to buy a container for $280,000, they're so.
Well, that's just a container, not the home.
That's the home inside. That's the container in the home inside.
Well, as most people here, at least the dais here, know that I was out of town for quite a while on a cruise ship. There are countries all over the Pacific that are using containers for everything.
Yes, they are.
And particularly to live in. A lot of that area does not require heat and air conditioning because it's so warm anyway. And they're just containers, both ends are open, cut holes for windows without closing it up with glass or anything. It's a very free flow environment. Yeah.
And a few want them, still use cardboard boxes for houses too.
Wow.
So, okay, any other new business? Anything for a member item? Everybody can make the June meeting on the 7th, or just as far as we know.
I have something.
Okay.
Since we're going to be talking about setbacks and what can be allowed and things like that in the next meeting, I would appreciate it if y'all could maybe spend a little bit of time and read Article 4 in Chapter 19.
Okay.
That is titled Supplemental District Regulations.
John, one of the things that would be also useful is if you could come in with a recommendation.
Well, I don't know what direction we're going yet.
No, from my own personal opinion, from beyond, because you're out there all the time dealing with this issue. If you have a like a staff opinion, which you know happens a lot, the staff will come in with a recommendation. I think that'd be really useful.
I can do that. What would you like the recommendation on?
Would
you like it on storage buildings, air conditioning units, warehouses, fences?
From your perspective, I mean, because we've opened that discussion up.
Doghouses?
Doghouses, pergolas, everything. You know, from your perspective, what the major issues are and what you would recommend, if any, changes.
Okay. I will do that if y'all will read Article 4 of Supplemental District Regulations.
I
will promise. We will.
So this is a complicated thing. You know, any guidance from staff would be really appreciated.
Anything else? Yep. Tom? Mr. Elvis?
No, sir. Thank you.
Move adjournment. Do I hear a second?
So is that a 99-day tan?
No, this one's working outside.
That's
been very little time.